And so our word for today comes from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter, what's going on, Eddie? Good to see you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We'll read one verse into your hearing this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For those of you that don't know, we do have a Tuesday Bible study. We have a Wednesday Bible study. Tuesday night, we're in the book of Genesis. Wednesday night, we are in the book of Ephesians. And so I encourage you to join us in our study. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And it reads thus: For we are God's masterpiece. If you are a born-again believer, I'm talking to you, that you are God's masterpiece. You may not feel like it, it doesn't look like it, but you have to believe the word of God and what God says about you. That for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That's it. I want to encourage our hearts from this thought today. Not a mess, but a masterpiece. You may be seated in the presence of God. Not a mess, but a masterpiece. Thank you so much, ushers. So several years ago, y'all, I had the opportunity to visit the museum called the Louvre. Perhaps you've heard of it, that it's in Paris, France. The Louvre happens to be the largest museum in the world, that it features the great art pieces of the Mona Lisa, the Winged Victory, Venus de Milo, the sculpture, the great sculptures. I mean, these are the works of the greats of old in Western society. I had the opportunity to visit the Louvre, y'all. But right around the corner from the, not far away, there's another museum called the Orangerie. And maybe you've been there before. Maybe some of y'all are art critics. You love art. And so there's this museum. And inside this museum, they have some works of art too, y'all. Some masterpieces. There's this guy by the name of Claude Monet. Maybe some of y'all heard of Monet, the various paintings that he does. And so if you have a Monet, you better believe it costs some money. But y'all, I'm thinking, I'm going to the Louvre. Look at all these great works of all of these masterpieces. You go to the Orangerie and you see Claude Monet's work. And y'all, it looks like what you see on the screen is... Now, some of y'all work with me for a minute. I'm not an art critic. Some of y'all like this impressionist art, some of this modern art, this contemporary art. We look at somebody took a can of paint and just threw it on a canvas and they sell it for $5,000. To me, it looks like something that a 5-year-old did with a crayon to me. So you marvel at it. But guess what? It's a masterpiece. It's a great work of art. It might look like a mess to me, and it does. And so some of y'all, listen, I'm talking about somebody in the house today. Cause maybe some of y'all got some of these great works of art in your house. Maybe you got a Monet. Maybe you got some of this contemporary art where you're looking at the picture and you have to turn your head sideways this way and then this way, and you're going, what is it? And so you pay $5,000 for it. That's $4,900 too much. The $100 for the frame. But guess what? It's just as much a masterpiece and a work of art, although it may look like a mess to some of us. I want y'all to walk with me for a minute. Imagine going through a great museum, the Louvre or the Orangerie, and you're watching looking at these great works of art, these masterpieces, and you happen to see one of the greatest masterpieces of all. And that's you. And the one that made you and created you is the greatest artist of all time. That's God our Father. Have you ever thought of yourself as a as a masterpiece? Yeah. I mean, for real, though. That you are a great work of God. That you have been created in the imago Dei. You have been created in the image of God. That you are God's master, his masterpiece. Or do you struggle with the feeling that sometimes you're just a mess? And maybe I'm by myself. Because sometimes it seems like I'm a smattering of joy and then heartache. That I'm faithful and strong, and then there are days when I'm fearful. That there are days when I walk in great faith, and then days I walk in doubt. There are days that I jump for joy, I leap for joy, and there are days that, can I be honest with you, that I cry. That sometimes, maybe I'm by myself, I feel like a mess in my attitude and in my behavior, and sometimes how I see myself, how I see other people, I feel like I'm a mess. Yet the reality is I am and you are. You're God's Monet. You're God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And I believe this, until we see ourselves the way God sees us, we can never do all that God requires us to do. Can I ask yourself your question this morning? How do you see yourself? Who are you? Do you see yourself as God's masterpiece, as a great work of God? You're God's masterpiece. And I want you to see today from the text how God sees you as his great work. What does it mean that you're God's workmanship or you are his masterpiece? See, a workmanship has just as much to do about the workman, the one that puts it together, than the art or the product itself. And so our focus today is on God, that he is the one that made us, created us, and saved us. You are God's masterpiece. And so in our text today, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. As we said in our study a couple of weeks ago, when you look at the book of Ephesians and you look at verse 1, and Paul talks, he says, I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus. The ancient manuscripts actually leaves out Ephesus. It says that I'm writing to God's holy people. And so many believe that the book of Ephesians was a circular letter, that it went to all of the churches of Asia Minor, all seven churches. But I believe it's for Living Faith. I believe it's for this church today, for those that are listening in today, that this is God's word for the people of God today. That you are God's masterpiece. You are his workmanship. You are his handiwork. And so Paul reminds the Ephesians and us today that we have been made anew, that our identity is in Christ. Look at just a general reading. If you've got your electronic devices or your Bible, look at a general reading of Ephesians chapter 1. It will bless your heart. It will make you leap for joy. Listen, he's talking about us. Paul is talking about us, that, listen, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That God has blessed you and me with spiritual blessings. I didn't say material blessings. And maybe you got some of that too. But spiritual blessings. That God blesses you and me with the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering and joy and love and peace and faith. Those are spiritual blessings. Then listen, you are chosen in the beloved. That you are holy. You are without fault in God's eye. Can you imagine that? That I'm without fault in God's eyes. I'm at fault in the eyes of a whole lot of other people, but not God. That you have been saved by his blood. That you have been adopted by him. That he's poured out his kindness and his grace on you and me. That we're covered in his blood, showered in his kindness. That he gives us wisdom and understanding. That God has a plan to fulfill in our lives. Y'all, this ought to make you leap for joy. When you read the word and you understand the word and you take the word in, that Paul and God is talking about you and me. This is about us, y'all. These aren't just words on a piece of paper. He's talking about you and me. And then we get to chapter 2, y'all. And Paul emphasizes that great scripture that we are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift from God. That we didn't do it all by ourselves.
However, when you look at verse 10, it shows that while not saved by good works, we're saved to do good works. And so this one verse to me, y'all, it's a masterpiece all by itself to let us know who we are in Christ Jesus. Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Because until you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you can never really fully do the things that he's called you to do in Christ Jesus. And so how does this text help us today? The first thing I believe is this, that our Creator is God himself. If you're going to see yourself as a masterpiece, a Monet, a Mona Lisa, you have to understand that God is your, God is our Creator himself. A masterpiece or a handiwork is made with intentionality and care. Leonardo, Michelangelo, Donatello, I'm not talking about the Ninja Turtles. they were master creators, painters and sculptors. They didn't just throw stuff together. When Michelangelo, he paints in the Sistine Chapel for 4 years on the ceiling of the chapel, he didn't just throw stuff together, 4 years to do it. That he had to bend over backwards and paint over his head, which impacted his vision. 4 years to create this masterpiece, this wonderful work that he didn't just throw it together, y'all. What am I saying to us today? God didn't just throw us together either. So Psalm 139, verse 14, you are wonderfully made. You are complex in God's workmanship. You are marvelously and wonderfully made in the image of God. And David said, how well I know it. How well I know this. How well do you know who you are and who God made? How well do you know it? For real, though. So we can testify that we are God's masterpiece, that we are created by God himself. I ask a question again, how well do you know it? How well do you know who you are? And think about this, who else can design a plan of salvation like this? That God would send his Holy Son into the world, perfect in all of his ways, to give his life for a sinful people, a people that didn't deserve it, that he would die on a cross for you and me, but 3 days later, get back up with all power in his hand. What kind of plan is that? Who would do something like that? Nobody but God, and God all by himself. And so just naming a few of the famous artists, it gives work and value to the worker, the creator, the one that actually made the art. And these things sell for millions of dollars. You know, here's the fact, though. You ever thought about this? Most of these folk that do all of this art, they die. and a lot of them never get to see you know how famous their works become and how thousands and millions of dollars, what they cost. They never get a chance to actually see it. But guess what, y'all? Your value and your worth, I want to say this, is not in who you are, but it's in who created you. And who made you? Too often times we try to find value in the wrong places and in the wrong things. Listen, the NFL season is off, right? It's off to a start, right? Yeah. And so you'll notice that even now, up into what it is, week 7 or 8, that folks are still being reassigned to other teams. They're being traded. Now you got to get this now. Now, when you start out in the NFL, whatever position you play, whatever it is, listen, you are the stuff. You know, when you're at the top of the ring, you are the stuff. You know, you're up there. You ain't getting traded for nothing. But get a few hits. Let a few years pass by. You know, you're on the team, think I'm getting ready to play. You get the phone call, you're being traded. That you're being shipped off to another team, y'all. We know how that looks in life, don't we, y'all? That you got that job, you love that job, but you've been around a little bit too long. And so, listen, AI has replaced you. Technology has replaced you. And look, they're going to send you to a back office somewhere else. Some of y'all know what it feels like in a marriage. That... Hey, you gave it everything you got, but but somehow he traded you off for another model. We know what it feels like to be traded. That you have your Ace Boon Coon, your best friend in life, and y'all been in lockstep for years, but all of a sudden they get tired of you and they drop you and they trade you for another friend. We know what it feels like to be traded. But here's the good news. God will never trade you. Come on, we can clap to that. God will never trade you. God will never drop you. God will hold on to you from here to you are God's masterpiece. You were created by God himself, and not only that, our identity is in Christ. You were created anew in Christ Jesus. You have a new identity based upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, come on, Bible readers. Y'all quiet on me today. All things have become new. So here's the point. So if our identity, our new identity is found in Christ, why do so many people fear what other people think about them? Why do so many believers shudder at and have fears about what somebody's saying about them, how somebody feels about them? You crying, what's Sister Joyce? We crying, and I say crying, because other people don't like us. Now, if you have a new identity in Christ, you've been created in Christ. Gee, listen, what are you worried about all of that for? You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. So don't get upset, don't get depressed, don't get to feeling bad because people don't like you. Now, granted, as believers, as Christians, yeah, we ought to want people to see us in a certain light because we carry the name of Christ, that we are Christians. Our identity is in him. But beyond that, I ain't got time to be tripping over what people think about me, how they see me. We don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that, y'all. Don't have time for it. That identity didn't come from others. It didn't come from our past failures, our struggles. But your identity is in Christ Jesus, your relationship with Jesus Christ. But this also means that you and I, we are original. All of us are originals. There's only one Mona Lisa. Now, there are a lot of copies out there. You know, the Last Supper, you know, there's only one. I don't know if you know where that one is right now. But there's only one, the picture of the last, only one of those. But there are a whole lot of copies out there. How many of y'all had the Last Supper hanging in the house next to JFK and Martin Luther King when you were growing up? Come on, I got some witnesses in the house today. There are a bunch of copies out there, but only originals to real masterpieces. It's like this. You grew up in a household with siblings, with brothers and sisters, that you came from the same mother and father, but you're still original. You have your own personality. You have your own even if you got a twin. They still have their own personality just like you. That you are not a carbon copy, that you are an original. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. Different services, but the same Lord. God works in different ways, but the same God works in us all. God is working in you and me for his will and his good pleasure. But listen, you are an original. You are not a carbon copy. Why waste time trying to be a carbon copy when God made you an original? Dr. Tony Evans of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship tells a story of, you know, his shirts, that he's proud of the shirts that he has, and they are tailor-made shirts, and they have his initials on the cuff of his shirts. I haven't arrived yet. I still press forward for the mark of the, but if he has initials, and I just so happen to be wearing a shirt, y'all, with my initials on it. So this is Kevin Love's shirt. That it was designed for me. That I've got some other shirts at home. They're off the rack shirts. You could throw them in a pile and somebody, that's my shirt. I have a shirt just like that, but you don't have a shirt just like this one. Because it was sewn, it was put together, it was designed just for Kevin Love. My question, why do we want to live this off the rack existence when God has made us an original? Well, I learned a long time ago, and I don't have time to try to be like somebody else. I don't have time to try to preach like somebody else, sing like somebody else, but be the best me that I can be. Because I found it easy. It's easy being me. Our identity is in Christ alone. Y'all, I'm almost done. But I want to make sure I get y'all out of here before noon hour starts. Brother K-Mac, we got a football game. Who got wings today? We got a football game to watch, or football games. This last thing, y'all, real quick, and I'll be through. We had divine purpose that was planned by God. Amen. That we are created anew to do good works planned for God long ago. Well, how long ago was it? I think there's a great prophet by the name of Jeremiah says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. That Jeremiah was appointed to be a prophet to the nations. But the same thing is true for us. That God created us for good works a long time ago. Before you were born, before you were formed in your mother, he created you for good works. That God has a plan and a purpose for your life and my life. Listen, I don't care how old you are. Mother just said it celebrated 81. Yeah, look, y'all, look at mama. Look at mama. Mama looking good. Y'all. I shook mama's hand and I said, oh, girl, she ain't gonna break my fingers. This mama's still strong. Listen, I don't care how old you are. If God has given you breath and God has given you strength, God still has a purpose for your life. I don't care how young you are or what people think of you. That God has a purpose and a plan for your life and for my life. Know that God is the master designer of our lives, that he's the potter molding us and shaping us and engineering our purpose and our identity. The Mona Lisa has significance. Hangs on a wall in the Louvre Museum. I want to say it looks good up there, but I've seen the Mona Lisa. Look good? I don't know where he found this model from, but she didn't come from not the top models. I don't know. Just let it go. We're gonna let it go. But we are God's masterpiece. That we were created in the image of God. And we were saved by God. We have divine purpose in God. I don't want you to doubt your authenticity of the authenticity of your calling and your assignment that God has for your life. That you're called to impact lives and not impress folks. Too many people are trying to impress people by how they speak and how they dress and how they sing and how much money they have and where they live and what church they go to and how many scriptures they know and how well they can speak the Greek and the Hebrew and all of that. I'd rather speak 5 words with my country self to tell you how much God loves you and let that change your life and all the Greek and Hebrew in the world. That God has a purpose and a plan for your life and my life. He calls us to impact and not impress people. Yeah, all of us have appliances in our home, right? We got refrigerators. We got a stove. Got a microwave. Some of y'all got a deep fryer. air fryer, you know, the new fancy toaster oven. We have all these appliances, don't we? Do we get these appliances to try to impress people? Now, except y'all that got the refrigerator with the TV on it now. Now, y'all just going over the top. Y'all going over the top. You got the refrigerator on the front of the TV. Now, how you going to watch TV while you're trying to cook, too? So, now, y'all trying to impress folks. You're just trying to, it's impressive. But we don't get those appliances typically to impress. They got an impact. They're there for a purpose. Now, what happens when your refrigerator goes out? You're going to either get it fixed, and if the rascal still don't work, you're going to get rid of it. I'm glad God didn't do us like that. Some of y'all going to catch this in a minute. That are you fulfilling your purpose in God? Isn't it good to know that God can fix your heart? God didn't want to get rid of you. God wants to fix your heart. Is your heart fixable enough that God can use you for his plan and his purpose in your life and my life? You're not an accident. You're not a product of random chance. You intentionally created by God. I want you to understand that today. The application of the text, your identity, understand that you're God's masterpiece, and it gives you a sense of worth and value and purpose, no matter how anybody else sees you. In terms of purpose, as God's handiwork, your life has a specific purpose. God has already prepared good works for you to do, and he equips you to do them, to accomplish them. The action that I want us to take away today is reflect on the specific ways God may be calling you to fulfill his purpose, his plan for your life. What opportunities are you taking to utilize the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given to you for his kingdom? And so in this coming week, take an opportunity. Think about this, that you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's planned for you to do long ago. Take the opportunity today in this week to find out, God, what is it that you've called me to do? Show me who I am in you. That God, you created me for purpose. God, you have a plan for my life. God, you have value. I have value in your eyesight. God, help me to be everything that you called me to be. Because I realize, until I understand who I am in you, Lord, I can never do those things fully that you called me to do and to be. So in our house, Jackie and I, we have our own art display. To me, y'all, this is the most beautiful work of art in my sight. I call it the art museum de Mimi and Pop Pop. That this is actually in our house, and these are the creative works of our granddaughter Aria. That her little hands painted these pictures. She used crayons to make the things that you see on the screen, that you see on the screen, that it leave off of the screen. But I believe that's the way it is with God. That when we come on and we walk through life and we put our hands to do the things that God has called us to do, listen, God said, that's my child. That the work that they're doing, it may not look like anything to you, but that's my child. That's the work that I called them to do. They're fulfilling my purpose for their life, my divine design for their life. And God is pleased with you and with me. No matter how other people see us, the way God sees you is what really matters. Only what you do for the Lord will really last. And you have to know who you are in God, that you're loved by God, that you're chosen by God, that you're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord, that you're saved and sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God, that you are somebody to God. And until you see yourself the way God sees you, you'll never be able to do all that God has called you to do. You are a masterpiece. And the church said, amen. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
God, thank you for this word today. God, I pray that you would help us to see us the way you see us. That our lives in this moment may seem messy, and maybe we feel like we're just another mess. But as born again believers, you said that we're your masterpieces, that we are your handiwork, that we have been called by you to do good works. Good works don't save us, but we've been called to do good works. God, help us today and every day to seek out what good work you call us to do each and every day. To show your love, to show grace, to show forgiveness. Because we're not a mess, we're masterpieces. And we're growing and maturing in you and in Christ Jesus. Show us, oh God, the specific purpose you have for us. And may we carry out that purpose, regardless of our age or our background or our stumblings or our failings or our sins that you help us to overcome. You have a work for us to do. Thank you, oh God, for calling us masterpieces. In a world where we're perhaps complex to other people, that we're problematic, that we are a joy to you, that we're beautiful in your sight, and help us to see one another that way as well. So again, help us to remember that we're your masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. And when we go out, help us to live out that purpose by the power of your Spirit, knowing that, God, you prepared the way for us. And God, right now, under the sound of my voice, perhaps there's someone here that's not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak to that heart right now. Tug at their hearts right now. Draw them, Holy Spirit, right now into a saving relationship with Jesus. Father, I pray for those who are already saved but not connected to a local assembly somewhere where they can grow in your word, fellowship with other believers, where we can all be accountable to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can tell a dying world about a living Savior. God, draw them by your Spirit only as you can. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We believe in this moment that you sent your Son Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins. We confess this Jesus as Lord and Savior. We believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead. And your word says that saves us, that settles it. So save now in this moment to the utmost all who come to Jesus by your power. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Come on, can we give God some praise in the house one more time? And perhaps there's someone here today and you have yet to enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You prayed this prayer of faith. Listen, you can receive him today. Our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. Their hands are extended. If you are in the house today and it's your heart's desire to connect with Living Faith Community Church, either for the first time in a saving relationship or perhaps you're already saved but you're not connected to a local assembly, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church, amen, your church choice. So their hands are extended. You can get up from where you are. They will lead you across the hallway to room number one. We'll gather some information from you and we'll welcome you with open arms. Won't you do that today? Perhaps there's someone that's tuned in right now and you said, I'm not in the house, but I want to connect in a relationship with Jesus. I want to connect to this assembly. You can do that today. How can you do it? There is a new member ministry form that's in a link right now on your screen. Click on that link, fill out that form, and we promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you. So take the time to do that now.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.